It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi there, and welcome to Scout the Game Week. Scout the Game Week is Fantasy Football Scout's weekly podcast, brought to you by the Scout Network. In each episode, we'll look back at the game week we had just played to assess what we can learn to help us in the next round of fixtures. I'm Ryan from Football Chatbox. Let's scout the game week. Game Week 36 is still not over, with one more game to go between Newcastle and Brighton, but we are here to discuss the final double game week of the season. Game Week 37 is fast approaching, and to discuss it, I'm joined by Anthony, aka FPL Dimmer on Twitter. How are you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm going very well, Ryan. It's been a long fantasy Premier League season, but only the 2 weeks to go. But thanks for having me on the show. Super excited to get into scouting the game week ahead.
Nice. So you've been having a pretty good season so far and currently ranked in the top 2.5k in the world. Before we get into the upcoming game week, I would like to ask you, how did you get into FPL?
Yeah, so despite living in Melbourne, Australia, I've always been a huge Premier League fan and used to watch the Monday highlights show every week when I was a kid. My father had me supporting Manchester United from a very young age, and I haven't looked back since. I've been playing Fantasy Premier League for about 20 years. However, I've only began playing the official Premier League game for the last 12 years. And in all seasons except the previous two, I was only playing in my mini leagues with the head-to-head format. Mm. So I was never focused on my overall rank. Some seasons I actually used to triple captain single game week players because I just wanted to win my mini league, and I was very much focused on that. So only really the last two seasons have I been focusing on the overall rank, and you know, I seem to be having a good season this season. One of my previous years, I did finish about 2,200th as well, which, you know, I didn't even know that until at the very end of the season because I would never monitor it. But, having a good season at the moment. So I think, though, the strategy's changed for me ever since I've moved from that sort of head-to-head mindset to the overall rank mindset. The strategy has well and truly changed. Mm. Personally speaking, I recently got married to my wife, Melissa, and we have booked our honeymoon in July to go to the Greek islands. And that just so happens to coincide with the Premier League break, which she doesn't know that's the reason we booked that date.
Fair enough. I mean, that's fine. As long as she's going to enjoy the holiday, that's completely fine.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's get straight into it. Let's talk about the upcoming double. Let's start with Manchester City. So Champions League semi-final just finished. What did you think about it?
Well, as a United supporter, it hurts me to say that they look simply awesome overnight and are now well and truly on track for the treble, a feat that was last achieved by our boys back in 1999. You know, to make Real Madrid overnight look second rate is pretty scary. Mm. And, you know, I can see this form following through to the final 3 weeks of the Premier League season and then obviously the two cup finals that they do have ahead of them. What about yourself, Ryan?
It was a very one-sided game. Watching that semi-final, I was like, I don't know if Real Madrid just didn't come prepared or they just never turned up. I think that was part of it. But that first half, especially like before City went 2-0 up, they were pressing Real Madrid. They were all over them. And I was like, this is just not going to end well. And we've seen what City are capable of. We saw a couple of players. We saw Alvarez come on, score with his first touch, I think, as well. So the depth that this team has is incredible. Now, obviously, from a double game 37 point of view, they need to win only one game for the title. So that will also come into play in terms of rotation. We'll be talking about it. But yeah, I mean, you want a piece of the pie, but you just don't know which one to get.
Basically.
Yeah. So let's move into it. City now need potentially one more game to win the league, unless Arsenal loses to Forest before that. And then City will go into the Champions League game, into the Chelsea game as champions. For me, at least, this has meant that the second game against Brighton might see some rotation. But what do you think?
Yeah, I don't buy into the full rotation in regards to Manchester City at the moment. I think with the form that they're in, Pep wouldn't want to mess with that form. You know, I guess in previous seasons, they might not have had to look forward to a final in the Champions League. So form might not have meant as much because the league was already sort of sewn up. So I think that they're going to want to keep their form. Pep runs a very, very tight ship. And while I think there will be some rotation, when is there not ever any sort of rotation with any team that Pep's ever managed? So, look, probably I think any Man City asset can be rotated, except probably Haaland, I think. You know, he's only 22 years old. He seemed to have been playing a lot of 90-minute games recent times. I think he played overnight. I think got subbed off in the last minute or two. So, you know, he still played most of the game. Even somebody like an Edison isn't safe at the moment, I think, if the title's wrapped up. Look, I have Grealish, and I'm pretty happy to retain him. He's probably not the one that I would want this week, but I just can't sort of justify making a sideways move. With Rashford seen in training yesterday and the midfield spots being pretty crucial with the likes of Salah and the boys from Brighton, I don't think I'll be moving to a City asset, but I can see there's a huge upside for him. So what about yourself, Ryan?
So that I still have a spot open for a City player. Unfortunately, I went and got Ake and then he got injured. So I'm stuck with Ake and I don't know what to do with him. I'll probably still play him because I think he might be just close to fitness and I don't mind taking even one game from him if that's going to be the case. But Gundogan or Mahrez seem like very interesting picks. Now, Mahrez obviously didn't play the Champions League game against Real Madrid, didn't start. But Gundogan did play, and we've seen Gundogan, he seems to have picked up some form in the last two games. And for me, he's one of those players who generally can go on a purple patch and can tend to do well, but is not always like, he's not consistent throughout the season. He's just only in those patches. And it seems like he's on one of those patches again. Now, would you go for him or would you go for Mahrez? Where do you lie on that? Or even Foden?
Yeah, so I think someone like a Gundogan, what was it, 3 or 4 years ago, he was in that run of form and everyone seemed to want to buy him and everyone brought him in. So he's in a similar form bracket at the moment. I think the Manchester City midfielders or the Manchester City assets that we're probably looking at this week, if you are looking, you know, to take a risk and chase that rank, Gundogan, Mahrez, Foden, KDB, and Julian Alvarez. But, you know, Pep's got so many options. It's very hard to know which one of those five should I be bringing into my Fantasy Premier League team. Look, if I had to pick one, I'd probably pick Mahrez. He has returned in his last four games. I think he played about 15 or 20 minutes overnight, so he's still very fresh. While Gundogan has had the high returns in the recent weeks, it looks like he's probably going to leave at the end of the season. So, you know, maybe then does Pep look to some of the others to steer the ship from now until the end of the year? But, you know, someone like Mahrez is probably ready now to pop. He's actually had a return in his last four Premier League games while, you know, sixes and sevens type scores. But I think that he'll get, you know, 150, 140 minutes over the double. And Manchester City can score goals, as we know, and he's usually there or thereabouts. So if it was up to me and I was taking a punt on one Manchester City asset to add to my team, it would probably be Mahrez.
Yeah, fair enough. I think for me, it's one of the midfield spots. That's where I still haven't decided. Probably will probably lean towards Mahrez, but still keeping my options open. And it will also depend on, I think, price tag as well. There are a few options. I think they're all very similar in terms of price, but it will have to depend on press conference news as well. Now, apart from that, who do you think will be great options for City managers to target? Are they the same type of players or anyone else different?
Yeah, as in Manchester City?
Yeah.
Yeah, look, I think that if you were looking to take that risk, Mahrez, Foden, again, he's at a very, very similar price. Kevin De Bruyne looks like he's going to be managed. He was the first player subbed overnight when they were up, I think, 3-0. So, you know, at his price point, there were some that were talking about, oh, maybe I'll go Salah down to him, but I just don't think he's worth the risk. In fact, he probably won't play more than the 90 minutes anyway, so you probably just should stick with Salah. But if I was going to go a Manchester City player, as I said, I'd probably go Mahrez, and then my second choice would probably be Julian Alvarez. I think they're the two that I'd go. Yeah. Foden's got huge upside, and, you know, Foden can haul.
Yeah.
But I'm just not sure. He seems to have fallen out of favour with Pep after having a really, really good start to the year.
Yeah, true. There was a patch that Foden went on where he was just scoring, and then got injured, unfortunately. And then again, doesn't seem to have got back into that in favour with Pep in terms of the starting lineup. So, like, I do agree, because he can haul whenever he's on the pitch. He has that quality. It's just that the minutes are a bit of a problem. All right, let's move over to Manchester United. Now, they need to win two more games out of the remaining three to secure top four. But we've seen pictures of Rashford back in training, but still there's a bit of a doubt over his fitness. And until we get press conference news, we won't be able to know for certain if he's out or not. So let's consider a couple options. If Rashford is out, who would you move him for?
Well, as a Man United supporter, I've got my fingers crossed he's past fit for this week. The fact that he trained yesterday, as you said, is pretty encouraging, but we will need to hear the information coming out of the press conference. As most fantasy Premier League players have stacked all of our benches, you know, following using the bench boost, which most used in game week 29, I think that if Rashford was out, starting a Newcastle attacker is a pretty good option. And then, or starting someone like a Trippier in defence. Mm-hmm. If he's a 50-50 Rashford, I'd probably start him on the bench. And obviously, if he is ruled out, I'd be starting one of the Newcastle attackers. If I had a luxury transfer up my sleeve and I could afford him, I'd be going straight to Bruno Fernandes.
Mm.
He's created 10 big chances in his last six games. And look, as a non-owner, I haven't been unfortunate to own him because he just seems to dodge points. I don't know how he hasn't had a few more hauls this year, especially in the last probably 6 or 7 weeks. You know, as a Man United supporter, this has upset me, but it made me feel good inside being a non-owner in fantasy. Jeez, it's a strange game, this fantasy Premier League, Ryan. The other option, the midfield slot, is probably Antony. Now, he's been very lively in the past few game weeks. If the left-hand goalpost was a metre wider, he would have Haaland-like figures. He seems to just put the ball just wide of that left-hand goalpost at least 2-3 times a game, loves a shot, and is very selfish when he's in the box, which is exactly what you want in a fantasy Premier League asset. There's also Martial up front, although with his history of injuries, that would make it a very difficult decision. What about yourself?
So for me, I think if Rashford is 50-50 or anything better, I'd start him. If he's out, then I'd probably bench him for, let's say, a Callum Wilson or an Isak, depending on who I want to bench. Or even potentially, if, for example, if the injury is worse than we assume, most likely not the case because it seems like he's back on training. So probably at the moment, if he's not fit for the game week, I'll probably bench him. And play one of the Newcastle attackers, because that game against Leicester isn't a bad game as well, to be honest. And we'll get to that game as well, but it looks like a really good option. But apart from Rashford, we've mentioned about Bruno Fernandes, is he probably the option to go for if players were looking to try and gain some rank?
Yeah, so he's the one player that I'm fearful of. So, you know, I'm trying to protect my rank of at the moment of about 2,500. But yeah, he's the one player that I am very fearful of. I think I'm going to have to hide behind the sofa during the next two fixtures for Manchester United. He's at a price point where I just can't quite get to him, but I've also already got three for Manchester United. Yeah. So if I want to bring Bruno in, I'm going to have to do it for a hit.
Yeah,
because I've only got the one transfer this week. Yeah, he would be the one that I'd be looking at. And if you were chasing, he would be a shout to put the captain's armband on.
Fair enough. Yes. Okay, so we will get to captaincy as well. But yeah, pretty good shout. Okay, so now that's United. Let's talk about Brighton. So majority have triple Brighton, but there might be a few managers like myself, who still only have double Brighton and have a chance to go, if needed, go for a punt that could deliver for Brighton's next three fixtures. Now, if you had double Newcastle strikers alongside Haaland, would you keep your double strikers against Leicester or would you sell one for NCC or Ferguson, assuming, let's say, for some reason, we've talked about like Wilson potentially not being fit or something. If, say, Wilson is out, then sell him for maybe a Ferguson or an NCC?
I think your Brighton assets, I think it really does come down to whether you're chasing rank or whether you're defending rank. Like yourself, I only at the moment have two from Brighton, but this is the area that I want to rectify this week. I already own Matoma and Estupinan.
Same.
And subject to what happens in the game tomorrow against Newcastle, I'll be looking to bring in McAllister to defend my rank. So He's a player who's hurt me in the past 2 weeks, especially the 96-minute penalty against Manchester United. That one really hurt because I had De Gea and Shaw. So, you know, for me, he's probably a little bit of a no-brainer. If I was chasing rank, someone like a Ferguson up front is a really good shout. You know, he does have competition for his spot with Welbeck and Undav, but I think his first choice if he's fit. And Sisco has lit up the Premier League in recent weeks. However, I think he might have a little niggle at the moment. So it's going to be one that we'll have to monitor tonight during the game. And then let's wait for Saturday's press conference to see whether or not he's, you know, still fit or not to be able to at least play, you know, 130, 140 minutes of the actual double. The other options at Brighton is probably Pascal Gross, Lewis Dunk. And if you've got a headache in between the sticks with someone like a Kepa, you might look at someone like Steele then for this week, especially at his price point of, I think he's about 4 million, so very cheap. Just on the Newcastle forwards that you were mentioning, I am extremely bullish on them this week. Leicester have conceded 15 goals in their last six games, and I think this will be a shootout. Both teams have got so much to play for. Newcastle playing for top four. Leicester are playing and fighting for survival. So I think this game will be played like a cup final. Both teams are just going to go for it. We should see plenty of goals, and that only bodes well for the two strikers from Newcastle. The only thing worth mentioning, as you just did mention, Wilson wasn't spotted in training yesterday, so we'll see what the lineup looks like tonight versus Brighton and have to make a call after that.
Yep, fair enough. Okay, now moving from Brighton, finally, Chelsea. Now, they had the hardest double out of the four teams. Let's start with Kepa. For managers with a Kepa-Rea combination, what should they do? Start Kepa or Rea or go for another keeper for a hit?
Okay, so first of all, I am off Chelsea in a big way. I wouldn't be going near Chelsea, even though they played twice. They seem to be a disjointed club at the moment, and clearly there are issues in the dressing room. We need to hear what Lampard says about Kepa, but they already had a frosty relationship during Lampard's first time at the club. So I'm pretty sceptical that he will get the nod over Mendy, even though Mendy probably didn't shower himself in glory last week with a couple of mistakes. Brentford have Spurs away this week, so I can see some save points coming the way of Raya. So at this stage of the season, with only two games left, I wouldn't be taking a hit for a goalkeeper. So I'd just probably just start him. I would probably just start Raya. If he scores 3 points, then whoever someone would be looking to bring in, they would need to score 7 points to break even. But if you were set on a new keeper, maybe De Gea, looking at their fixtures, playing twice, he might be one to look for. Yeah, that's probably the way that I'd be thinking as far as the Kepa versus Raya conundrum. The other part about, you know, using a transfer on a goalkeeper at this time of year, the ceiling on them isn't high. Mm. And, you know, I'm sure that there's a fire to put out in most people's teams this week. So it might be better using that transfer somewhere else, maybe especially in that sort of midfield bracket.
Yeah, fair enough. I agree. I think the upside isn't there as much. For me personally, I'm still undecided on start Kepa or Rea. I'm wondering whether I should risk starting Kepa, see whether he gets both games. And if he doesn't, then Rea comes off the bench for me, most likely. That is what I'm currently thinking about. But obviously, press conferences could potentially change that, because I just think that the chances of even Brentford keeping a clean sheet against Spurs seem to be low, just because Harry Kane just somehow finds a way. And he's been doing that for this season, like, completely. Every week he just continues to score, to score, to score. And obviously we don't talk about him too much, but I think with this potentially being Spurs' last home game, and also maybe Harry Kane's last game as well.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
You could score there. So then I'm looking at Kepa, I'm looking at Rea, and I'm like, probably hoping for save points only.
Yeah, he's had a phenomenal season, Harry Kane, and, you know, you probably wouldn't want to back against him, that's for sure. He scored in 24 games this year, which is a serious feat. And, you know, I think that if there was no Haaland playing this season for Manchester City, Harry Kane would be in everyone's team, yep, and he would just be a set and forget.
Yeah, fair enough. I agree. Okay, so that's the situation with goalkeepers. I don't think we're going to even touch about maybe Chelsea's outfield players, because the fixture doesn't look great. I guess if you wanted a really good punt, I mean, if you wanted an extreme punt, probably be Sterling.
Yeah, look, Sterling scored twice last week, but the way they played didn't excite me too much. Mm. You know, we still don't even know whether or not he's even going to start in both games.
Yeah.
There's just so much uncertainty with Chelsea, and, you know, they are one of those teams, as we say, that are on the beach. So, you know, Chelsea, Brentford, Wolves, Bournemouth, West Ham, Southampton, Fulham, and to a lesser extent, maybe Palace. They're all teams that are currently sitting on the beach, as we say. So, you know, all those teams, they would need to have a super asset for us to even, you know, entertain bringing one of them in.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, let's talk about some single game week fixtures. We touched on Newcastle before, but I want to talk about Trippier. Would you keep Trippier for the next two fixtures, or would you, let's say, move him out for City or United defender be worth it?
I think if you've got Trent, Shaw and a Stupinan, then Trippier may be surplus to your requirements. I think the way that the points have been scored in recent weeks, it's all about the midfielders and the forwards, which means you've only got three slots down back. And looking at the remaining fixtures, I think, yeah, Trent, Shaw and Stupinan are the three that I want to roll with. At the moment, I've got Trippier sitting on my bench. Mm. So, you know, he can be used as a cash cow as well to free up some funds elsewhere. So if someone's got two free transfers this week, you might move him to 4.0 defender, and then you might use those funds to get to a Bruno Fernandes or someone else if you're wanting to take a risk this week somewhere else. Look, if we're purely talking, you know, City and United this week, who have probably got the best fixtures, I'd probably select in order Shaw, Diaz, Stones, Lindelof, and to a lesser extent, maybe a Varane. Diogo Dalot's got huge upside, but just his minutes at the moment.
Yeah, it's a risk.
Not sure about his minutes. So at this stage, Trippier is likely to come. He's likely to be on my bench for the last 2 weeks. I don't think I'm going to use a transfer to transfer him out because I'm pretty set on my three at the back.
Yeah.
But if, you know, but if you don't have one of, you know, Shaw, Stupinan or Trent and you're able to move Trippier to them, I would actually do it.
Okay, fair enough. You wouldn't consider maybe starting Trippier over any of them. It's just like there's just so much upside from, let's say, a Shaw or Trent or even a Stupinan that it's probably better moving them out.
Game week 37, I would be starting the three that I mentioned.
Yeah.
Trippier's got a great fixture this week in Leicester. Why. But I can see both teams scoring.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, Trippier for me, because I've got the two boys up front from Newcastle, I'd have him ranked third out of those three.
Yeah.
Purely because I can just see that game being a 3-1, 4-1 type game.
Yep. Okay. Cool. Fair enough. Let's go to Liverpool. Managers have the likes of Salah or Trent. Some might be looking to move these players out to try and get in, like, say, a Bruno Fernandes. Or even a KDB, although I probably wouldn't go there now after watching the Real Madrid game. Or even a double game big defender. Is the move worth it?
Well, firstly, Liverpool appear to be back. They've probably left their run a little late, which is good for yourself and myself being Manchester United supporters. I just wish that they'd just stumble once at least instead of keep on winning all these games and putting, you know, all this pressure on us. But look, in the form they're in, Trent and Salah are likely to outscore most of the double game week players. You know, what we saw that they scored 13 and 12 points respectively versus Leicester. Salah probably should have scored 20 because he had that sitter that he missed towards the end. And if he had scored that, he would have also featured in the bonus points as well. So they'll be both part of the high ownership template this week because I think most teams this week will have or they'll try to get to Triple City, Triple United, Triple Brighton, Salah and Trent. I think that's the template this week. If Kevin De Bruyne was nailed to start both games, I think a very popular sideways move would be Salah to him. But he's just too much of a minutes risk at the moment. Salah has Southampton as well in the last game of the season. And therefore, Southampton won't have anything to play for.
Yep.
He could be a shout to put the armband on.
Yeah.
So that's why I don't want to spend a transfer, you know, taking Salah out and then maybe looking to bring him back in again.
Yeah.
So I just wouldn't move out Salah to pretty much anyone at the moment. As we said before, Bruno Fernandes is one that he's obviously playing twice this week. I would love to get to him, but I just don't want to sacrifice Salah to get to Bruno.
Yeah.
So that's the way that I'm thinking this week.
Yep. Fair enough. Fair enough. I think that I agree with that, to be honest. I think Salah and Trent are like must-haves for now till the end of the season if you have them. If I don't have Trent, and unfortunately I can't go to Trent, but I'm happy to... That's one player... I am going against, but sometimes if you're chasing, you kind of have to go against a few small, like high EO players to try and gain some rank and hope that it works out for you. So yeah, I think if you have them, you keep them and play them, to be honest. But if you don't have them, I would probably look to get Salah first over Trent. And then if you can get Trent in the final game week in 38, I don't mind that as well, to be honest. Okay.
No, sorry. No.
Yeah. No, that's basically, that's what I wanted to say. Yeah. Okay, so two more game weeks to go. People are probably looking for punts to climb rank. Do you have any players on your radar that you like as differentials?
Okay, so again, I should say that I'm in the position at the moment where I'm trying to defend rank. But if I was looking to chase, as I was last year, the players that have come to mind is probably... Alisson from Liverpool. He's been flying under the radar, actually, the last few weeks. He scored 24 points in total in his last 3 weeks. So, you know, very good output for a goalkeeper. With the news coming through that Martinelli looks like he's out for the rest of the season, I think Martin Odegaard and Saka could be a shout, but you just got to wonder on the sort of mental toll at the moment and the way that things are there at Arsenal. Last year, they were in a really good position to finish top four and they seemed to fall apart. This year, they are in a position to win the league and the same thing happened. So there, if you're feeling like you want to take a bit of a risk, they're probably two that you could look at. We already spoke about Harry Kane, you know, who can score against pretty much anybody. Just wondering what his ceiling is, though. He's usually scoring between that 6 to 9 point mark. And he's also, you know, very, very pricey. So he's one as well. If you're feeling extremely risky, Mitrovic last week scored when he only, I think he played the last 20 minutes again. And yeah, he scored. He's got Crystal Palace at home this week. But again, he's only playing once in this game week. And then, you know, of the teams fighting for survival, probably the players that you could look to potentially punt on, Maddison, Barnes, Dwight McNeil, Gibbs-White, Danilo and Rodrigo are worth a mention. However, I don't think that I'd be going anywhere near any of them except maybe Dwight McNeil, but you might want to hold off on that until the last week of the season.
Yeah,
he scored 21 points 2 weeks ago, and the two fixtures remaining that he has are against two teams that are both, as we say, on the beach. So he's one that potentially we could look at, but just not sure you'd look to do it this week.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, cool. And then finally, captaincy. Who are you looking to give the armband to?
Okay, so in my current position, I won't be taking any risks.
Yeah.
I am going to go for Erling Haaland. you know, I'm currently sitting 12 points inside the top 5,000, and that's where I want to stay.
Yeah.
And if I don't put the armband on Haaland, I could fall very much outside of that 5,000 very, very quickly. So I think, yeah, Haaland's the obvious choice. I said earlier that I think he's the most nailed City player.
Yeah.
And even if they had the league sewn up, I still think that because he's chasing all of the individual accolades, I don't see him getting benched. You know, he might maybe come off at 60 minutes, but 60 minutes from him is quite often better than 90 minutes from somebody else, as we've seen this year. I'm expecting his ownership to be at about 200% this week or very, very close to. So I won't be betting against him. However, if I was chasing rank, in my opinion, the best alternative captains in order would be Rashford if he's fit, which could be very much out of left field considering I think it was over 300,000 managers this week have already sold him. Then I'd go Mahrez, actually, as a bit of a punt. As I said before, I think he's ready to pop. Bruno Fernandes, he's also a very good shout in regards to captaincy. And then probably McAllister or Matoma from Brighton, especially if Manchester City have already sewn the league up by the second game week, by the second game of the week. You know, you would hope or you'd think that they might play with a bit more freedom, which might mean that, you know, Brighton score. And then from there, maybe those two guys can get in the points. The other shout, if you're feeling extremely punty, is Gundogan. He's in that form that he was in 3 or 4 years ago where we all were scrambling to try to get him into the team. So he's another one that you could look at. Brighton have got a busy schedule at the moment. So they are a significant minutes risk. So if you're selecting a captain based on minutes, I think Bruno is about as nailed as anyone can get.
Yeah, fair enough. I do agree. I think differential-wise, he is probably one of the best options just because of minutes and everything and on penalties as well if they do get a penalty. But I think Haaland's still probably the best option for the moment. Again, it'll depend on each person's rank. And I think if you're chasing significantly, I don't see any harm in going against Haaland, to be honest, because there isn't much time left to gain like massive risers as well. So it is probably so, one. Yeah, go ahead.
So in your position, Ryan, are you at the moment on someone like a Haaland or are you going to look to take a risk?
So currently, now this could change after the Newcastle versus Brighton game because I have my armband on Wilson and he is differential for the moment already. So this could go, it could go well, it could go bad depending on how Isak does and how Wilson does in the Brighton game. So the answer could change. But for the moment, I'm 20 points behind top 100K. Now, do I need to captain someone else to maybe try and close that gap? I don't know if I need to. Probably my other players could probably close the gap, like Bruno Fernandes could potentially slightly close the gap if he does well. Then there are a few others, maybe even starting the Newcastle strikers in 37 could potentially close that gap as well. If it does increase, let's say Wilson doesn't start, Isak does well, scores huge, then I might look to be differential, and then I might think about Bruno Fernandes in that specific situation, because the gap might widen between me and top 100k, and also the gap between me and maybe the people I'm chasing in mini leagues could also probably increase. So that's where it'll depend on what happens in the bracket, because I think that game will tell where how risky I'm willing to go, basically.
Yeah, I think we will find out a lot during that game tomorrow.
Yeah.
Most of us have got, you know, either five or six players playing that game. Wilson's under a little bit of an injury cloud, according to the rumours overnight. So once we've got all that information, we can just process it and then, yeah, put it towards trying to make sure that we nail the right skipper this week.
Yeah, fair enough. That's right. So I feel like it depends on everyone's rank and where they're at. For me, if I'm way too outside the top 100K, I feel like any other rank I get from outside the top 100K, I don't really matter. It doesn't matter to me too much. So I'm willing to risk it at that specific situation. But if I'm very close to the top 100K, then I would probably be a bit more safer and try and find my differentials elsewhere that is not from the armband. Yeah. Cool. All right. Before we end, we do have some community questions. So let me just get them up. First one is from Michael Zikon. And he says, congrats on being top 2.5K, decent effort. Which single game week players do you expect to outperform the double game week players this week?
Okay, so I think we mentioned it before, but I think Salah and Trent are the single game week players that I'd be looking to start.
Yeah.
And as well as before, I think there'll be goals in the Newcastle-Leicester game.
Mm.
So Isak and Wilson, yeah. I think, you know, outside of those four, there's probably no others that you'd choose to start if you were, say, on a free hit. So, you know, I think most teams, if you were on a free hit, you'd have the three from United, three from City, three from Brighton. So there's only the two spots available, Trent, Salah, but then you've also got the two guys up front from Newcastle.
Yep, yep, fair enough. I think it's those four probably, most likely. Then the next one is from Jamie FPL Cantona. If you were to trade Trippier or Kepa / Rea out, who would you prioritize and who would you bring in?
Well, I think it's team dependent. If you were looking to trade out Kepa and you had a spot for a Manchester United player, I'd go De Gea. If you didn't have a Man United spot but you had a Brighton spot, I'd probably go Steele. And then if you didn't have slots for those teams, I think I'd just probably hold on to Rea, quite honest. As far as Trippier goes, again, I said it before, but I think you need to try to get towards Trent, Shaw and Estupinan.
Mm-hmm.
They're the three that I want to have for the remaining fixtures. Luke Shaw, since he's moved again to the left, looked very lively out on that left wing. I think he's a completely different player when he plays on the wing as opposed to centre-back. So if you don't have Luke Shaw, try to get to him. Manchester City's defence is a bit of a raffle. I don't, you know, other than maybe someone like a Diaz, I don't know if any of them are actually nailed to play the full 180 minutes during the next game week. The other thing that you could do with Trippier, if your team is in a really good shape and you've got the two free transfers this week, you might just look to trade him or someone else in your team that you won't start this week for a very cheap asset.
Yeah.
And then that means that in 38, then you're ready to make a move for a player that might be a little bit more expensive than what you can afford. But yeah, it's a little bit hard to answer that without knowing all of the fires that are in your team.
Yeah.
With only the two free transfers left for the remainder of the season, which is what most of us have, some have three, you know, you wouldn't want to be spending that on a goalkeeper with a relatively low ceiling.
Yeah, fair enough. I agree. Cool. So that is basically all we have. Before we end, I should plug that we did a video in terms of mini leagues chasing. and attacking. So that will be on YouTube, youtube.com/footballchatbox for anyone who wants to check. Make sure to go check that out because that will probably help you in terms of trying to understand what to do in certain situations, whether you're chasing your mini league or whether you're defending your mini league. We've kind of covered that over there. But anything else, thank you for your time today. Anthony, do you have anything to plug?
Thanks, Ryan. I really appreciate the invitation to appear on Scout the Game Week this week. I've been listening to Fantasy Football Scout, which has become a part of my normal week now for probably a little bit over a year, which has been great. For the viewers and listeners, if you'd like to interact further and keep in touch, my Twitter handle, as mentioned before, is FPL Dimmer, all one word, Dimmer spelled D-I-M-M-E-R. And I do make a point of trying to respond to everyone. So looking forward to interacting with everyone on Twitter.
Awesome. Well, his handle will be in the description as well. So thank you all for watching. We will be back during Double Game Week 37 to discuss the final game week of the season.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.